If you've enjoyed listening to the Word of the Lord Endures Forever this year, please make a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. You can also donate by check. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support at the end of 2021.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
And please, 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 throughout this epistle, realize that the blood of Christ is not some idea, some notional thing. It's rather the very real content of the cup of blessing which they gather to share. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ?
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Ephesians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. I'm sure you recall in our last show, we heard St. Paul's great adversative, but, and that just wiped out the bad news he shared before about us being born rebels who are spiritually dead. But God, so rich in his mercy, loved us with a great love in his Son, so that even though we were dead, we've been raised with Christ, made alive with him, with his very life, all by grace, a free, unmerited gift of God. And not just made alive with Jesus, but raised up and made to sit with him up there in the heavenly places, and all so that God could brag on us as his beloved children unto the ages. So by grace you were saved through faith, and even that wasn't your own doing or in your own power. It was the gift of God, not a result of works, so that absolutely no one can boast in his presence of having done a thing. And you've been made alive to share in the life of Christ so that you can do the good works he's prepared for you to do beforehand. You remember the Easter eggs scattered all around your life, just waiting for you to find, to seize the opportunity. A reading from Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 14. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to dig into God's word for today? Let's get on to it. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Notice that double in the flesh. He's using the word flesh here in a different way than he did at the start of the chapter, where he referenced the passions of the flesh, which involve both body and mind. He just means here physically. The Gentiles were the physically uncircumcised. Their males didn't bear that distinctive cutting off of the foreskin of the penis, which is the mark of the covenant with Abraham, hence the sign of being a Jew, well, at least Jewish male. And he says, called the uncircumcision, that has about it, the flavor of it being a bad name. I think that's what you hear, for instance, in young David, when he asks of Goliath, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" 1 Samuel 17:26. Here, uncircumcised is clearly an insult. But when St. Paul refers to what is called the circumcision, he's hinting at something deeper. You see, just as the Jews might insult the Gentiles for their intact foreskins, Paul taught that the only real circumcision, the one that counted, was being joined to Christ. So he'd boast, for instance, to the Philippians, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." Philippians 3:3. Given that, St. Paul's words here, what is called the circumcision, have about them almost a taunting, "That so-called circumcision made merely with hands." Verse 12, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." He wants the Gentiles to call to mind what it was like before the gospel of Christ came to them and the Spirit of God gave them the gift of faith. He never wants them to forget their hopeless plight. First and fundamentally, they were at that time separated from Christ. They didn't know anything about the Savior or his death for the forgiveness of sins or eternal life. Nothing. And they were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. That is, all the blessings God had poured out for the world were at that time in the Jewish people. The Gentiles simply didn't know anything about the riches that the Word had given them. They didn't know the law or the prophets or the Psalms. And that means that they were strangers to the covenants of promise. They simply didn't know a thing about the many promises God had made to the human race. Those promises were given through the Jews. All of that left these Gentiles hopeless, literally having no hope. They simply limped along in their native rebelliousness and ignorance and had zero idea of the infinite love that God bore for them in his Son. So they lived in this very world that God had created out of love for them without any awareness of this God or his great grace and kindness. "That's where you guys were," the apostle says, "hopeless and lost. What did you have to look forward to? Nothing. As far as you knew, death was the end." Verse 13. "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Another powerful "but" comes along. But now, that is, since Christ's incarnation, suffering, death, and resurrection, you who once were far off have been brought near. That is, you who once were far off from God have been brought near to God. And this happens through the blood of Christ. So Gentiles is probably exactly what St. Peter meant when he preached on that first Pentecost that the promise of baptism is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Those who once had no hope, no inheritance, no future, now have all these and more. The blood of Christ delivers it to them. And please, 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 throughout this epistle, realize that the blood of Christ is not some idea, some notional thing. It's rather the very real content of the cup of blessing which they gather to share. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ? 1 Corinthians 10:16. God draws so near to us in his Son that he invites us to sip from the chalice of divine love, to commune with the blood that has wiped out the sins of all and given us all, Jew and Gentile, safe access to the Father. Verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Holding the body and blood in his hands, my pastor turns to us in our church and sings, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." He holds out toward us the very body and blood of him who on the cross made our peace. He became, as we sing in the great O Antiphon for December 22nd, "The King of the nations, the ruler they long for, the cornerstone, uniting all people. And so, O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. But what is this dividing wall of hostility? I referred to this last time briefly. It was a real wall. Here's how the Jewish historian Josephus expressed it. There was a partition made of stone. Its construction was very elegant. Upon it stood pillars at equal distances from one another, declaring the law of purity, some in Greek and some in Roman letters, that no foreigner should go within that sanctuary. We actually have some of that wall with these inscriptions intact. This dividing wall marked the boundary of the court of the Gentiles in the temple. They could enter that court, but their lives would be forfeit should they seek to pass beyond it and ascend into the court of the Jews. And this, people loved by God, makes St. Paul's arrest in the temple all the more interesting, doesn't it? Acts 21, we hear that the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the crowd. Roman Asia, you know, with Ephesus as the capital, certainly comprising whatever cities Paul had first dispatched this letter to. In other words, some of you folk, you Jews from that area, you got me arrested. And why did they arrest him? He even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. Acts 21, verse 19 and following. That is, he was accused of bringing Trophimus, the Ephesian, a Greek, a Gentile, an uncircumcised man, across the boundary, across the dividing wall of hostility. That's what stirred up the riot that led to his arrest. Now, it was a false charge in the literal sense. St. Paul had done no such thing. But it wasn't false in another and profoundly spiritual sense, as Paul explicates it here. The Jesus Paul preached really does abolish in his body, remember he referred to his body as the temple, any dividing line that would mark out Jew versus Gentile. Instead, his blood unites both together in the forgiveness of sins. So they eat together of the Eucharist. They partake as one body of the body and blood of Jesus, who is our Prince of Peace, and who gives us to each other as brothers and sisters with him, children of the Heavenly Father. That's where we're going to need to call a stop for today, people loved by God, right in the middle of St. Paul's very long sentence. He's got so much more to unpack on how in Jesus the division between Jew and Gentile is at an end, and he is very eager to extol how and why and where it was brought to an end, namely upon Jesus' cross, where he wiped out the old law with its distinctions and made one new man in place of two, Jew, Gentile, and reconciled both together in one body through the cross. The cross is always at the heart of it all. And so his peace comes to the Jews, and his peace comes to the Gentiles, and through him we all, you too, you Gentiles, we all have access in one spirit to the Father. You're not second-class citizens anymore. You're fellow citizens with the saints, members of God's holy household, built up on the foundation of apostles and prophets, right on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself. Forget the earthly temple, folks. It was only a picture of this great reality, which the church is, the church of the living God, composed of living stones, animated by the very Spirit himself. Till next time. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.